From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. It's good to have you listening in today as we return to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, to continue our study of the life of Christ. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you. Welcome to the broadcast, and I trust you'll be able to stay with us as in a few minutes we continue to think upon Christ, the Lord of the harvest. First, however, our hot topic for today, Holy Land Takeover. Trinity Broadcasting Network has just been handed the property and operation of the Christian theme park, the Holy Land Experience, situated in Orlando, Florida. The park was the realization of the dream of Marvin Rosenthal, a Baptist minister who was converted from Judaism to Christ. It opened in 1991, but has struggled to bring in enough visitors to finance its ambitious scheme of giving visitors the next best thing to an actual trip to Israel. Its model of Old Jerusalem and the Temple are excellent, as is its replica of the Garden Tomb and Golgotha. When Rosenthal opened the work, he expressed his opposition to the modern Pentecostal movement by banning anyone of that persuasion from working in the Holy Land Experience, even if it was only as a hot dog vendor. Now his creation lies in the hands of the Crouch family, owners and operators of Trinity Broadcasting, people who are not just Pentecostalists, but extreme charismatics. Paul Crouch Jr. sees his family's acquisition as a marriage made in heaven. The Holy Land Experience had huge debts and a declining client base. TBN is hugely profitable and has a large checkbook. TBN didn't buy the theme park. It acquired it by virtue of four members of the Crouch family taking the majority of seats on the board. Already the Crouches have great plans that will see a major revamping of the park. They'll introduce TV and film sets, and probably set up their Orlando Station studios there. With their expertise in filmmaking, they will no doubt make the whole place look a lot more glamorous. With their $200 million budget, they have the money to do just about whatever they like. So look for the Holy Land Experience to become financially successful as the Crouches introduce it to their worldwide audience and to the almost 100 million homes that have access to TBN's programming. But watch also for the whole tenor of the place to change. Watch as the Crouches make it the basis for advancing some of their more bizarre ideas. And watch as Paul and Jan Crouch insult the very idea of experiencing the Holy Land of biblical times with their Hollywood glitz and false glamour. The Crouches are not the people I would like to have seen take over Mr. Rosenthal's dream park. They paid over $400,000 to make a homosexual abuse charge against Paul Crouch Sr. go away. Their financial accountability and propriety has often been in question, as has their ultra-lavish lifestyle. But the deal has been done. No doubt, as Paul Crouch Jr. has said, they will get the turnstiles turning this summer. What people will see when they get there is another question.
Search Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, my Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from
In each broadcast here on Let the Bible Speak, we offer some free literature. One booklet we mention is A New Beginning, and I'd like to say a word to you about it. A New Beginning is an updated version. By updated, I refer mostly to the artistic presentation of the material, though the text has been slightly expanded. It's an updated version of a booklet I first produced in the 1970s. Since then, something around 500,000 copies have been distributed, and the Lord has richly blessed it. The booklet is a plain man's guide to what the Bible says on the matter of how to be saved. With an abundance of scripture quotation, it's an excellent yet simple presentation of the gospel to meet the needs of the lost. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to explain the biblical basis of assurance and to give instructions in the first steps of the Christian life. If you're not saved and would like help in understanding God's way of salvation, if you battle with the matter of assurance, or if you're a young believer needing help in the first steps of your new life, then this booklet will help you. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charge if you write or call and request it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS 1-866-877-5827. We trust that you'll be in touch with us soon, and if you need to have one, we'll be delighted to send you A New Beginning.
Oh, for a cloud.
Now it's time to return to our Bible study from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, on Christ, the Lord of the harvest. We pick up today's message where we left off yesterday with a point that the Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes and that we often overlook, and that is that the only limitation on the size of the harvest we bring in is the number and the labor of the laborers. Let's turn to God's Word.
Jesus says, pray. It's a great prayer here. Send forth laborers. Do you see that the only limit on the size of the harvest is the number and the labor of the laborers? Now, I say that as a down-the-line Calvinist. We Calvinists are supposed to believe that the limit on the size of the harvest is, according to the Arminians, this is what we're supposed to believe, some harsh decree of God that he's keeping a whole lot of people out who otherwise would want to get in. Don't you believe it? I believe in the decree of election because I believe in the success of the work of Christ, and I believe that God is going to bring in the full complement of the redeemed, however poorly I labor. But in human terms, I have to say this. If you have 100 people out laboring, you'll have a much bigger harvest than if you've won. If this church sends out 100 people witnessing, we'll see a whole lot more return than if we send out nobody witnessing. The size of the harvest depends upon the number and the labor of the laborers. Jesus says, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers. Pray that God will raise preachers. Pray that God will raise personal workers. Pray that God will raise up men of passion. Pray that God will raise up men and women who are willing to burn out for God. I'm sure many of you remember the old hymn. It's sort of, if not unpopular nowadays, at least very rarely ever sung, "Let me burn out for thee, dear Lord. Don't let me rust or my life be a hindrance, my God, to thee."
remember sitting in a missionary meeting in Dr. Paisley's old Ravenhill Church years and years ago. On a very odd occasion, we had a really good singer come along. Otherwise, we had sincere singers. And then we had others who just had great spiritual power in their singing. To me, they're the best of all. But when you could combine the good singer with the one with spiritual power, then that was a rare time. With a young woman from Brazil, she'd been an opera singer in Brazil when God saved her out of the Romanism and set her on fire with the love of Christ. And I always remember her coming and singing, and one of the hymns she sang was, "Let me burn out for thee." Not rust out. How many rust buckets we have sitting in church pews around America. "Let me burn out for thee." God needs laborers. And don't be shocked that I say God needs them. Not that there's a lack in God, but Jesus said to his disciples, "Go out and you'll find an ass, and say to its keepers, the Lord hath need of him." The Son of God says, "Go and tell them I need that donkey." Well, now surely, it's not unorthodox of me to say the Lord hath need of a few more. The world may think us no better than donkeys, but what does that matter? The Lord is needing laborers. Pray the Lord of the harvest. And that's really, I hadn't started to preach, I'm just getting to my text. That's the great person, the Lord of the harvest. Pray to him. Now, I think that title actually belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I say that because he shows in the verses that immediately follow, by his actions, that he is the Lord of the harvest. He says, "Pray for laborers," and immediately, what does he do? He sends forth laborers into the harvest field. He sends forth, in the first part of Matthew chapter 10, the 12 disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So I want us to think this morning for a few minutes as we come to a close on the Lord of the harvest, our view of the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage of Scripture. Let me say this, that as the Lord of the harvest, the Lord Jesus Christ kept his eye on the spiritual state of perishing souls. We see this in the passage we have already mentioned in chapter 9, 36 and 37. Gazing on the multitude who thronged his ministry, he was moved with compassion. Why? Because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Lost, wandering, unprotected, and in grave danger. Now I hope you see how strong my efforts are to stay within some time constraints this morning. Those are 4 points that beg for a preacher to preach them. This is how he looked on people: sheep without a shepherd, lost, wandering, unprotected, and in grave danger. And then he saw them as a harvest, change of figure entirely, getting away from the sheep now to a field of waving grain. He sees them as a harvest that had to be reaped in a very brief period of time. Now this is Christ's eye upon the multitude. As the Lord of the harvest, this is how he's looking on people. He's getting their spiritual state firmly in view. And it was a very different view from the view that others had. If you think of that crowd, just as it would be today, that crowd represented all the usual ambitions, all the usual plans, all the usual desires, and all the usual fears that men entertain. If you had been able to go into the crowd, you'd have found some, they were full of pride. They had things that they thought they could be proud about. Others had things they thought they should be ashamed of. There were people, just as there would be in this crowd this morning, taken up with the challenge of life, with its works, with its needs, with its opportunities. Every one of them had his own way of measuring success. Each person there viewed himself in his own peculiar manner. But I think I'm safe in saying this, none of them looked on themselves as the Lord Jesus Christ did. They focused on the physical. They focused on the temporal. They focused on the immediate. He focused on the spiritual, and he focused on the eternal, and he was right. The terms that he used to describe them are terms, I think, that seem to have burned themselves into his soul. He used them frequently. He spoke of them as sheep, and he spoke of them as a harvest. Think of the sheep for a moment. He saw them lost and wandering. No doubt, with Isaiah 53 in mind, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. He saw them with that prophetic vision. I think he also probably had Ezekiel 34 in mind. When he saw these sheep as being abused by false shepherds. He couldn't help but think that. He looked at the wandering sheep of the house of Israel, and he saw people who were supposed to be their shepherds, but they were men who were self-centered, self-serving, and they were destroying the souls of men and women. And if I take his own words in Luke 15, he saw these sheep as needing a true shepherd to go and search for them until he would find them and bring them safely home. And it was to that work that the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself, even at the cost of his own life. John chapter 10 says, in the words of Christ himself, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. When he looked at these men, he didn't see rich men and poor men. He didn't see educated men and ignorant men. He didn't see the cultured and the uncultured. Oh, no doubt the Lord Jesus could appreciate those distinctions as well as anybody. But the truth is, to him, they were nothing. Isn't it strange that we get ourselves so tied up in knots about things that will perish and they don't mean anything? We divide people by color. We divide people by class. We divide people by culture. We divide people by creed. We divide people by riches or lack thereof. We divide them by education. We have them all segmented. And this is what we like and this is what we don't like. And it's just a carnal, wretched, godless way that our wicked hearts have of consigning the vast majority of men to hell while we do nothing about it. The Lord Jesus wasn't interested in those things. He saw them as sheep, wandering, lost, foolish, and perishing. That's how he saw them. And you and I can be mighty glad that he saw them that way, for that's how he saw you and that's how he saw me. And he came searching, even at the cost of his own life. What a price he paid to win these sheep, to bring us home. This is when I wish I could sing. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that our Lord passed through, ere he found this sheep that was lost. He saw them as sheep, and he set out to reach them and bring them home.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America.
I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.